Right.
Okay.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Trailblazers Podcast, the comic book club, the comic book club.
The only one. The premier comic book club. We read a trade paperback.
Every single week. I'm Daniel. You're Nathan. We're brothers. We read comics.
Yep. Sometimes you just need like a little...
Yeah,
a little starter. Kind of like a lawnmower, you know.
As soon as I lose my train of thought, I'm like, I gotta restart.
Everything just crashes and burns.
Gotta restart, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Cool party. Pretty legendary, honestly.
Yeah. I didn't realize I was capable of throwing a rager of that magnitude.
Yeah. In this little house party, and we get the cops called.
No, yeah, it was good. Got the cops called.
That's how you know it's a good one.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, sweet.
They're like
cops are outside. I'm like, yes.
You want a beer?
Yeah, dude, I almost did. But I walked out there, and I was wearing my Mandalorian costume. And he's like, oh, sweet costume. Like, just first thing.
You should have walked out with your helmet on.
Dude, I was like, oh, I have a helmet in there too, but I didn't want to walk out with that on. And I was like, it's not real Beskar, though. It's 3D printed. And he's like, oh, you made that? So it was pretty cool. And he's like, yeah, I understand. Just, you know, turn down a little bit. It was cool, though.
Nice.
I knew it was going to be good because I was a little scared of, like, if something gets out of hand, like, I don't know if I'll be able to stop it. And that's, like, that's how you know when to stop inviting people.
Right.
Because if you're like, if they all show up, this might be a little crazy.
Yeah. We're like, hopefully not everyone shows up.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's like how my wedding was. Mm-hmm. Like, we invited like way too many people. And then I'm like, who do we know is not going to go?
Yeah. You
know? And then end up being even like less.
That's good.
So,
and then
it's like 50 people less than we invited.
Yeah. You won an award, the costume award.
Yeah, dude.
For funniest costume. Mm-hmm. As a Farquaad. Which
Lord,
is pretty good. Lord Farquaad. Okay, we got a sweet picture together, which you need to send me. I don't have it.
Oh, yeah. I meant to post that yesterday, but then yesterday ended.
Yeah.
So, yeah, dude, I was like, I didn't think, like, yeah, it's like funny, but I didn't know it'd be like that funny compared to other people. I thought like Ben would win everything, honestly.
I don't think enough people knew, because he's Rex Kwando from Napoleon Dynamite.
Right.
He told me that, like what he was going to be, and I was like, okay. That sounds familiar. So I didn't know. I haven't seen the movie in a while, though.
As soon as I saw him, I started like quoting like Rex Kwando.
Yeah.
I'm like, grab my arm. Other arm.
Other arm.
No. No, my other arm or something like that.
There's so many creative ones I saw just like this year. I feel like the creativity of it has gone up, but like just the amount of people that are like dressing up or like at least going trick-or-treating has gone down.
I'm okay with that.
Which is fine. But I like the Talk to Me one. Have you seen that one?
Yeah.
Where someone like painted their hand and they had like the whole thing.
Very cool, yeah.
My favorite one I think was Tucker Carlson and the green M&M.
That's a good one. I saw someone dressed up as M&M and then their girlfriend dressed up as an M&M.
An M&M. Ooh, that's pretty cool.
I was like, that's funny.
Yeah. Some good stuff.
But we got different time codes. We in our description, you can go to our book, which is Captain Marvel, or you can jump to the back matter. Or the poll list, but we start with the news.
What the fuck even happened this week? I don't really have much, really.
Yeah, I had to like dig for some news.
Yeah.
I never search for shit.
Chris Mundy, the showrunner of Ozark, will be the showrunner on Lanterns.
Oh, cool.
Which is pretty cool. It's a good show. People like it.
Yeah.
I've watched a couple episodes of it.
I watched the first season and then tried to start the second and just couldn't do it.
People love it.
Yeah, mom
like,
loves it.
They're like, it's Breaking Bad. And I'm like, how dare you?
I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah, chill out. So that's cool. At least there's going to be some sort of cohesion there.
Yeah, and someone that we trust.
Yeah.
And they actually have like showrunners hired, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's unlike Marvel, apparently. Yeah. So
there's a show on Netflix called Bodies. It's like a British crime drama.
Okay.
And it's an adaptation of like a DC Black Label comic.
Which one?
It's called Bodies.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cool.
It came out in like 2014. I'm sure we missed it, you know?
So it was Vertigo?
No, Black Label. It might have been Vertigo, but they relabeled it like Black Label.
Yeah, because Black Label wasn't a thing until like 3 years ago or something.
That sounds right, yeah.
Yeah.
But So it's pretty popular. It came out a couple of weeks ago, but it's like not even like in print. Like, and it's not even like available to read digitally.
Huh.
Yeah. It's like you have a comic adaptation probably to boost comic sales,
and then
and it's not even available for consumption.
That's not the reason that you make a comic book show, but it will certainly, people will get interested in reading the source material for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like comic book movies are really just to boost like comic sales, you know?
No.
Comics, like,
you don't make a movie to like boost book sales. Like, you're not making a Harry Potter to like sell more Harry Potter books.
Well, yeah, it's to make money off the movie or whatever.
Yeah, and the merchandise and
stuff. But also, I think it'll, I'm sure the books,
they benefit each other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Books benefit from the movies for sure.
So do you think like the Harry Potter movies have made more than the books like in their
100%.
Lifetime? 100%. I'd like to look that up.
I really want to as well. I don't even know how you would look that up.
Total
have
Harry Potter movie profits. So in gross box office, they've made $7.7 billion, movies.
Do they even post like book revenue?
So they post at least like sales, you know?
Yeah. Wait, so how much did you say?
$7.7 billion.
Okay. Harry Potter books are the best-selling fantasy book series of all time and the best-selling book series overall, having sold over 500 million books worldwide. So how much is a book?
I don't know. So it would have to be like at least $14 each.
Mm. Maybe it's tied then.
It might be tied.
But that's Harry Potter might be an exception. Wait, have we counted Fantastic Beasts?
Those are in books. Or maybe they were.
But they're Harry Potter. Does that count? Probably not.
Harry Potter's not in those.
I think I'm stretching a bit. anyway.
Yeah, so anyway, I feel like that sort of thing should be like available, you know?
Yeah, 100%. They should, I assume they'll
like, that seems like it. Such a like layup.
No,
for,
they'll reprint
for
it.
Editors and like publication to just be like, oh, this is a thing that will,
that we could sell
and
we'll
make this more aware. Mm-hmm. Let's make sure it's available, you know?
Yeah. Well, they did that with like Why the Last Man. They'll like print it with like the little thing on this in
like
the corner.
The new poster too, yeah. Sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. It'll like, have like the movie
just been adapted by Netflix.
Yeah, or it'll have like a little button on the corner. It says like, oh, based or, you know, this is made into a Netflix show now. Like you should check it out. So they'll probably do something like that.
Yeah.
What else you got?
Hey, then Joe Hill
uh-huh.
is leaving his Hill House imprint from DC on DC.
His Black own Label. Imprint?
His own imprint to focus on novels.
Wow.
What a loser.
That, yeah. How do you make a whole imprint and be like, nah, never mind.
Like, ah, fuck this. That's, I mean, that's such a, I never really a weird
liked,
flex.
I never really liked any of them.
Neither did I.
I tried two, and I was like, this is not for me, clearly.
But it's like still around, you know?
So like, is Hill House going to continue?
I think so.
Weird.
But I guess he'll like be less involved. I don't know. I haven't seen like a new Hill House thing in a minute. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure like how much they need him really, but.
Yeah.
So Marvel Unlimited, I guess they have Infinity Comics. So is that like the
that's the Infinite Scroller.
Infinite Scrollers. They have a book coming to print in January from that. It's called Marvel Meow.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's Cats with Superheroes or the Cats of Superheroes, but I guess we'll find out in January.
How many Cats of Superheroes do we know of? Because I only know of the Captain Marvel one.
Yeah, like Goose.
Chewy?
I thought it was Goose. Because she's like a pilot, and it was based off of like...
Top Gun?
Top Gun, yeah.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Is my cat Goose?
I'm like, oh yeah. You're right. But yeah, I don't know any other cats. There should be more.
Surely there's more. Is that the one?
How
that
many dogs do we know of? Even I only know Sparky. I think
Lockjaw
is a good one.
Come on,
yeah, that's an easy one.
Who's Sparky?
Sparky's the Vision dog.
Oh right, yeah, he's cool.
Yeah, we like him. He died, but then the reason that he died and then came back as Sparky.
Bad book.
Oh, you're right. Well, no, he comes back. Oh, you know,
still killed though.
There's Batwing, which is a Doctor Strange dog ghost.
Batwing?
I think it's Batwing. Hold on.
Oh no, dude! Fucking Pizza Dog.
Pizza Dog, yeah, from Hawkeye.
Not a superhero, but a very in canon dog.
Bats. It's not Batwing. It's just bats. But he's like, what are those dogs with like super floppy ears? A basset hound?
I was like, bloodhound?
Yeah. So Bass is one. There's more dogs than cats, surely.
Yeah.
I'm only interested in that book if all the dogs and cats fight each other.
That'd be something.
Or like, if I got hired chief Marvel editor, I'm like, put more cats in.
To write Marvel Meow?
Put more cats in Marvel Meow, and then we have all the dogs and cats fight each other in a big event. It'll be a big summer blockbuster event that no one will care about, and then I'll get fired. But at least I'll have made my mark.
At least you have a legacy to leave behind.
Yeah.
Last thing. Image has some new books coming from Ram V and Dan Waters. I guess it's some sort of connected. These two books are connected or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Ram V is writing a book called One Hand, and Dan Waters is writing a book called Six Fingers. And it looks kind of like horror-y.
The same hand?
I guess we'll see. Hmm. And it's coming out in February 24.
One Hand and Six Fingers, huh?
Yeah. I thought those were both
below the average.
I thought that was the title of the one book that they were both writing or whatever.
One Hand and Six Fingers would be that would be a bold title.
Yeah, it'd be kind of cool though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's in the cover art.
You could just say six fingers, and that would cover. I would assume that you have a hand for those fingers,
or unless they're fingers that were taken off of a hand.
Yeah,
multiple hands.
You just have a thumb on one hand.
Yeah,
interesting.
But anyway.
Did you know that Ram V can fucking draw?
No.
He did a written and drawn thing for Detective Comics recently.
Cool.
And he crushed it. I saw some of the pages and I'm like, this is for real.
What does it look like?
If I had to compare it to somebody, it'd be pretty hard. I guess a little Sienkiewicz-y, but
okay,
mixed with Christian Ward, I guess, the colors.
Hmm.
But a little bit cleaner than Sienkiewicz typically does, because he's a little bit scratchier, but on purpose.
Sure.
But it was really good. The coloring itself was super good, and yeah, he was pretty creative on the page.
Sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. So that's on whatever Detective Comics that was on.
Yeah. But anyway, let's get into the book this week, Nathan.
Yep.
We got Captain Marvel coming out when this
We got the Marvels coming out.
The Marvels, my bad.
And we read Captain Marvel Higher, Further, Faster, More.
Bye. Kelly Sue DeConnick.
David Lopez.
Lee Lowridge.
And Joe Caramagna on letters.
Yeah.
Dan, what'd you think of this book?
I love the art.
Yeah, same.
David Lopez is super consistent.
Yeah.
And he's very crisp.
Is this the first time we see the Captain Marvel space suit with the Mohawk thing?
I don't know.
I don't know either. But it seems like it would have started here. I'm going to look.
Okay.
How do you look that up?
First appearance, Captain Marvel Mohawk. I kind of expected more bad guys and not humanitarian Captain Marvel, you know?
Yeah.
I think this is a cool use of it and it makes sense. But it's just kind of not what I expected. It was less space cop, you know? And it was time spent on a planet, you know?
Yeah.
And it was kind of interesting, the interdimensional politics that were kind of introduced into it that made sense and were coherent, you know,
mm-hmm.
And also kind of tying it back to things that we know on Earth.
Yeah.
So, yeah, pretty well thought out.
Yeah. The plot itself, it has a lot of elements that I think are kind of hard to track, but there's I think pretty good ideas in here.
Yeah.
I like knowing that the Avengers have some sort of presence just in the universe that people are familiar with.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, that's cool. Even though, they don't really have a whole cosmic space team really at this time. Yeah. This Mohawk suit was from Kelly Sue DeConnick's run.
Oh, so this is first appearance of the Mohawk.
I think so.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. Very cool.
So
is this when she first became Captain Marvel from being Miss Marvel? These are things I don't know.
Surely not. I mean, first appearance, Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers. Did it say?
Oh, yeah. I could probably just look that up.
I've actually started as Captain Marvel.
No.
Maybe that was just a bold thing because of all the Shazam stuff.
I don't know. I can't tell you this.
I'll wait.
I can find it out.
We need all the answers.
What volume is this of Captain Marvel?
Oh, I don't know. So her first appearance as Captain Marvel's is Avenging Spider-Man in July 2012.
Okay. She first became Captain Marvel in a Kelly Sue DeConnick run that was drawn by Dexter Soy.
Oh, is this not like her first?
This might not be the one. Is this like the new? Wait, when did this come out?
2014?
Yeah, this is referring to 2012, which seems right to me. Yeah, Carol Danvers has a new name and a new mission and all the power she needs to make her life a living hell, guest starring Captain America. So that was this first issue of Earth's Mightiest Hero, Captain Marvel, number one.
Oh, shit. So, yeah, this is not the first run.
We just kind of picked one.
Should we cancel the episode? I don't know.
Yeah, I guess we're... that's it.
Fuck, I feel...
So this is like a follow-up thing? Maybe that's why we're...
I'm so embarrassed.
I'm never letting you figure it out ever again.
Dude, that was the first... This is the first thing that pops up.
This is pretty confusing. I mean, I think if you just search Captain Marvel...
You see this cover?
Yeah, it was that one.
That's like the first one that she was on, I guess. So that came out in 2012. So, hold on. Let me look at the... So this has 4.5 stars, 243 ratings. And then we read...
Also 4.5 stars.
But 2,234 ratings.
Yeah, so, because I think it comes up first. It's all about the algorithm.
I guess, but like...
And then there's another one...
With Kelly Sue?
After this, with Kelly Sue and Amanda Connor. So she's just been on the title so many times.
So she definitely like deserves to be in the movie.
Yeah, for sure. I thought it was like just this run. But now that we're looking into it, that's not the case.
So I wonder if we would have like maybe enjoyed the other one more.
Probably.
Well,
this one is interesting and there's good ideas, but I was like a little thrown off by like how many new characters there are.
Yeah.
And I didn't know who to care about. And ultimately, I don't really care about any of them, if I'm being honest.
Okay.
But I could see she has a really good voice for Carol Danvers specifically.
Yeah.
That I enjoy. So, but let's get into it.
I think just because this one was rated more.
Like this is why we picked this one. This is
probably like the popular one, you know?
This is fucked up because it's like if someone knew.
Because we always do like the first trade, you know?
Yeah. If someone new wants to read Captain Marvel, they're just going to pick this one, right?
Yeah. Like us.
Yeah. Like us. Like we know what we're doing and we fucked up. You know?
Kind of, I guess. And so maybe it's not. Like,
stop relaunching this shit.
It'll never happen. They'll never stop.
They'll never stop, but like make it easier to figure out like which one. If you wanted to start the beginning of Carol Danvers being Captain Marvel,
yeah.
Like figure out how to make that easier to do.
Right.
I just don't know what the solution is. I just would like to complain.
It's pretty hard.
Yeah.
But anyway, I guess we'll just get into it.
Yeah, so we start in the middle of the book.
This is the beginning of this book.
The beginning of the book, we start in the middle of the book. And we'll get back to the middle of the book later. But basically, just like Captain Marvel's trying to help some aliens with some stuff on another planet. And that's like the little... We plant the seed there. And then it jumps to 6 weeks ago. Carol Danvers stops what she thought was a nuke, but it's actually a ship carrying an alien named Tick. And Iron Man is like, hey, we should have Avengers... like in space, but like we rotate them out so they're not always in space. And she has like a lot going on in her personal life as well. Like she lives in the Statue of Liberty.
Pretty cool.
I don't know how you like set that up.
Maybe there's room in there already.
Like how much is the rent? You know, does she pay rent?
She pays with justice.
How many bathrooms?
Probably just one.
Probably, right? She's living with this kid, which I assume is just...
It's like
her last run.
It's like her sister and like her niece.
Yeah. I don't know who they are. And then there's a cat. And I think that one.
Is that Goose?
Is that Goose? It must be Goose, right?
Probably. Because like, they keep talking about her because she's like on the ship with her.
Yeah. And like we see some Carol Danvers having fun on the job and like. I like seeing the part of a personal life and personality sprinkled in, which I think is good, but we kind of lose that like a little bit later in the book because it's just like the next thing and then the next thing and then the next thing. But like, I like the begin. I like this first issue a lot, even though like not really like a lot happens, but we get to see like a little bit about her. And so we find out that she has like a thing with Rhodey or Iron Patriot at this time, or was he still called War Machine? I don't know.
But I don't know.
It's James Rhodes. And so they have like a thing that they're like keeping secret. And then she's like, I want to go to space. And then Rhodey's like, all right, you can do that then. That's fine.
Fuck me then.
Yeah. He's like, fuck me then. But there's like a really nice, it is a nice scene where he's like, I'm not going to keep you on the ground. You know, that kind of thing, kind of showing support.
Yeah.
But it is a little bit of like, well, fuck me then, I guess. You just go.
Yeah.
Right. But I like their relationship.
Yeah. Know? It's he's like younger, like more her age.
Yeah.
So it's like, not like weird.
And they're like upfront with each other and like not clingy, which I feel like a different writer would just kind of like milk that drama like a little bit.
Right.
But it makes sense for both of them to be like we both do this, but like we both know what we got to do. So
right.
Like you just go do your thing, I guess. So I actually like that aspect. I'm like, okay, cool. And the artist, I think, does a really good job with just Carol Danvers himself, like really good portraying emotion. And with like action. So it's pretty cool. But that's pretty much issue one. There's like a little, it's like a little kids comic at the end of this.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was part of like the original book as well, but it's just kind of like explaining who Carol Danvers is and just like kind of trying to catch you up to speed if you're new. But issue two, we're now down to 2 weeks ago from being in the middle of the book, and Carol's in space. She's on her ship with her cat, and she's doing like medical transport. She's trying to take that alien that was in that first issue and bring her back to whatever planet she's supposed to be on. And she runs into a group of like pirates and crooks called the Hefensei, and they just like try and shoot her down. So Captain Marvel like comes out and she blasts them. And I really like this dynamic of bringing your pet like on a spaceship.
Yeah.
Like that's not something that is done a whole lot. So it's funny that like her cat just jumps up on like the control panel and starts like pushing shit like a cat would. Like if you were working from home and your cat jumps up on her desk and like starts pushing shit. So I think that's pretty funny. And then we see like the Mohawk design. Pretty damn cool.
Looks good.
And the space action is so good.
It is very cool.
Like the coloring like is really cool when she's doing like her big blasts. And I really like that aspect of it like a lot. Hold on. I need to... It's going to bother me. I need to confirm this cat's name. It's Chewy.
It is Chewy?
Yeah. She says, Chewy, you can't lay on the controls.
Hmm.
So it must have been Goose only for the movie, unless there's a different Flurkin cat named Goose.
How many Flurkin cats does she have?
She could be a crazy Flurkin cat lady. What if there was a Captain Marvel villain that was just a crazy cat lady, but they're all Flurkin cats? And so she has like 20
she'd be
that she controls.
She'd go down. Yeah, Goose in the movie. So,
you know, I believe that.
Hmm.
Maybe they just couldn't use Chewie because it's Star Wars. But that doesn't make any sense because it's also Disney.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
And like, I guess...
Do you like Chewie or Goose better?
I think Goose is funnier.
I think Goose is also funnier.
I think Chewie is a better name for a dog.
That's a little basic, though.
A little...
It's a little bit more bold to name your cat Chewie, I feel.
Yeah, but...
But remember Chewbacca that, himself remember is definitely that
issue
dog.
Of like Groot, where like Groot goes to Earth.
The one that we read?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing that Captain Marvel suggested he do is watch Star Wars.
Yeah.
So her naming her cat after Chewbacca is like a little bit more coherent with that. I'm sure Kelly Sue didn't think of that when writing this.
And I don't think she's read that series.
Yeah. Or this probably even came out before that.
Yeah.
But I like some consistency, you know, across titles.
So if this came out, what do we say, 2014?
Yeah.
Were the Guardians of the Galaxy? That was a thing.
I think the movie came out in 2014.
Really? Okay, interesting. Because...
I can be completely wrong. I realize that I'm not very good with years.
Dude, I...
Because so much shit that I thought happened this year happened last year. And so I'm just committed to like...
It was 2014.
It was? Wow.
Yeah, okay. Look at you. You're just contradicting yourself right now. Never mind. I take it back.
I'm kick-ass at years.
Dude, I've seen like this...
Quiz me on something else.
I've seen this like little game show thing on TikTok, and it's like Guess the Year, and they give you a movie, an album, and a video game that came out.
Fuck you have to guess that. The year. No way.
It's so fun. I'm like, 2002. And then it'll be like 2006. And I'm like, fuck.
I saw this one that's like really tests like my IMDb knowledge. Mm-hmm. And it's like a panel, or it's like, you know, four or nine squares. And it'll be like an actor and matching with like the director and then like the year and then like the Rotten Tomatoes rankings.
Oh, wow.
And also, I don't know, like,
if that would ever help me.
And also like the genre. Well, I'm like, I know if I'd seen it, I'd be like, oh, that sucks. So it probably had like a low rating or whatever, okay, you know? Gotcha. And it's really fucking hard.
Yeah.
Especially because I haven't seen like every movie, you know, but
why not?
You know, I've been a little busy.
That's fair. I get that. So yeah, the Guardians of the Galaxy show up with the movie squad. Exactly.
Pretty bad Star-Lord suit.
I agree. I'm glad you said it.
He looks like
he's trying to be like Electro.
Or like Static Shock colors.
Ooh, yeah. You know? A bit of appropriation going on. But no, it's like it's Drax, Gamora, Star-Lord, Rocket, and Groot. So it's like...
Thank you. I forgot the lineup.
Yeah. Well, like sometimes there's like other guys.
I like when it's like a scary Groot. Like he looks
Scary Groot's so much better.
He's like terrifying. Yeah. Because you know? Then he's all like cute and shit. It's like, how is he going to help?
You know? Exactly.
But this guy looks like he'd murder like an army.
He looks like he'd stab you 100 times without even thinking twice.
But then like the Drax the Destroyer looks like the one from like the cartoon.
Yeah,
and so I'm like, come on, where it's just like little spirals on his shoulder.
Yeah, like the tattoos of Drax, they're never consistent, which is weird to me.
Yeah, I mean, I get it, because like, tattoos are hard, sure, annoying.
Yeah. But
I'd do more than that.
Two spirals on your shoulder, that's crazy. Also, like Gamora changes quite a lot, but I think that's because of the movie.
Gamora's cool,
but she normally has like the yellow circles like around the eyes, yeah, which I do like.
Yeah, it's important.
They all kind of change quite a bit, I feel, because Star-Lord shit changes all the time.
Yeah, it's just his drip normally.
Yeah. I guess Rocket's the only one that really stays the same. But yeah, so Guardians of the Galaxy show up, and Carol explains that she's transporting a Nolinian alien back to her people, who are refugees now on another planet other than their home planet, because their home planet was blown up by a group called the Builders. And Tick, the Nolinian, gets out of like her little pod thing and says that she was trying to find the Avengers for help again, but she sees Star-Lord as like an enemy because I guess he's affiliated with the people that blew up her planet or something. So Tick, the alien, takes Captain Marvel's ship and runs off with it, and Carol chases after her. So
I never liked the kind of space trope where you can look at like one humanoid alien and another humanoid alien and like you just kind of know what species they are.
Yeah, well,
like,
I think
because he is like half human, but he definitely looks like 100% human.
Yes,
so that's just like a little bit of an odd plot point for me.
Well, apparently Star-Lord's father is someone that's pretty fucked up. I think it's this Jason dude or something in here.
I don't think so. He made it seem like his dad died or something.
Yeah. But so she was able to recognize that. So I can kind of see it. But yeah, I do agree where it's like there's billions, trillions of life forms and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like if you see someone, you're like, oh, my God, I know who you are. That's like super weird.
Yeah. At least with like
if you were like affiliated with like a whole species that like blew up your planet, like if Star-Lord looked like a different like a xenomorph and the xenomorphs like blew up their planet, then I can understand probably affiliated with those other xenomorphs.
Yeah. And then, like, I'm trying to think of, like, another example of that. But, like, Star Wars, they, like, recognize people based off, of, like, what they're wearing. And
yeah.
And that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So, if, like, maybe if, like, he had his, like, old helmet, the one that, like, we know.
Yeah.
And that was, like, affiliated with, like, some army that with that species, that would work too. But
that's another thing about this costume is that his helmet sucks. It's just, like, a typical space helmet with, like, a little face shield thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's nothing cool going on here.
You know who pulls that off?
Who?
Exo Manowar.
He does.
So sick.
Yeah, that's probably like one of my favorite. Yeah.
Probably one of the best helmets, possibly. Arguably.
With a face shield. Like, if you're going to do the face shield
thing. Well, how many other face shield ones do you know?
Look at Star-Lord.
That's one.
Buzz Lightyear. Okay.
I'm talking about comics.
Mysterio.
Oh, they had them in, like, Black Science, didn't they?
Yeah, okay. They did.
Those are okay.
But you're not trying to make their helmet iconic. You're just still trying to see their faces and their reactions to
shit. Can you believe that we're almost at, like, 200 episodes and we haven't done one Valiant comic?
Dude, that's so funny. Wait, have we not? We did Bloodshot at some point.
No, we didn't.
We didn't?
We talk about the movie all the time, I feel like.
Dude, we have to do Bloodshot at some point.
Or Exo Manowar or something. You know?
Exo Manowar is pretty cool, too. Or Ninjak.
Dude, Ninjak would be sick.
Ninjak would be... I've never read a Ninjak. Maybe
we should...
Fucking...
Quantum and Woody.
Quantum and Woody.
Yeah, that's important.
I was saying, I was thinking like Soggy in my head for some reason.
I feel like if we do Bloodshot, we should try and get Parker on for that too.
Oh, that'd be perfect. Like, he would hate it.
We'll just schedule it.
He would hate it because it's not Ninjak.
And see if he can make it. Oh, he likes Ninjak, huh? He
loves Ninjak.
Then maybe have him on like, Ninjak.
It's like Spawn, Alien, and like Ninjak. That's like his shit.
That's like
the kind of, the shittiest, like...
That's the comic fans I like.
Like,
you know?
Damage. He loves Damage from the fucking whatever
DC's. Dude.
He would love Parker. It as well. Yeah, we should. Okay. Yeah.
We should. All right. Well, we'll schedule one with him. And then we'll also have like a backup comic in case he can't make it. Because okay. I don't think we can do another Parker comic without Parker.
Yeah.
Because
you know? Then we'll just be like, yeah, it's pretty good.
Like, he needs to like defend what we're reading, you know?
Yeah. I want to shit on it so that he can defend it. Also, so Tick. In this book is a Nolanian. I think it's a reference to like Kevin Nolan or something, like some sort of creator. So that's kind of fun. Pretty fun. Anyway, that's issue two. So Tick is in Captain Marvel's spaceship that she took somehow.
These are some great covers.
They are pretty solid covers.
Like, issue three is great.
Yeah. Like they keep the premise like simple, but like visually, like the graphic design of it's really cool.
Yeah.
They don't try and lean on like Captain Marvel punching something.
Right.
So yeah, issue three, Captain Marvel fights her way back onto her ship. And then Tick kind of gets an understanding that Captain Marvel wants to help. And so they go to Torfa, where Tick's people have like been moved. And Captain Marvel meets the leader, Leonides. I think that's her name. Leonides.
Leonides is probably good.
Leonides, yeah.
It's probably Leonides or something like that.
Leonides, trying to do like some.
It sounds like 300
some Odyssey shit. Yeah. Yeah, some Greek stuff.
Okay, let's back up real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you know like Groot had like lights?
Yeah, he's like kind of glowy, isn't he? He's got like random like pimples or whatever. That
yeah,
glow.
No, yeah. They look gross.
Yeah,
they're like headlights.
Dude, he does look like a bunch of headlights. Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Maybe like his eyes aren't actually eyes, you know, and like they're just like
sensors.
They're just kind of put there to have like normal facial features, but really
he's just big wood creature.
He's a big wood creature.
How does he see?
You know how like isn't there a species that like sees with their nose or something? It's like
Daredevil.
It's like no. Touché. But no, like it's like caterpillars or something. Like,
yeah, I mean like butterflies taste like their feet and shit, so like there could be a different way of like seeing like echolocation, like bats. Is that what you're
something
thinking about?
Like that. Maybe yeah. you can just feel other life forms.
Feel
how close they are.
Yep, that's fair.
Rocket looks like a cat in this panel.
Oh my god, he does. He's also got weird eyes. He doesn't normally, though. I think it's just... Wait, does he? Does he have pupils? He doesn't.
In this one?
He doesn't ever.
No, dude. He had to in
He's
that...
He's got, like, red eyes.
In that Guardians, like, run that we read.
I know he did, but I guess that's just, like, an artistic choice, too.
Yeah, it's like Batman.
Sure. A little different, because it's a cowl, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Because, like, when he's, like... yelling or something, he like his eyes like squint, mm-hmm. you know, and so it's like feels odd to try and force like a pupil in there.
Yeah,
but anyway, moving on.
So Captain Marvel meets like the Torfa leader Leonides and offers Captain Marvel like offers help, and then Leonides like dunks on her for like not actually bringing any help. And I really like that. She's like, how the fuck are you helping? Like, did you bring doctors?
Or
like
food?
Did you bring medicine? And she's like, no, but I'm an Avenger.
I can lift stuff.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know what she was expecting because she said that she was there to just bring this alien back, which she did. And then she hangs around. She's like, I'm here to help. But yeah. Like, you got nothing. So Leonides then explains that she has to now make the decision to either try and pack up her entire civilization again and move to a new planet again. But leave the sick behind because their planet is currently like poisoning them. and or they just try and risk staying there and hope that they find a cure before they're all like getting wiped out.
Yeah.
And I think it's cool that like Captain Marvel's in a situation where she's kind of got wrapped up in like a space conflict that she doesn't really know how to contribute to.
Yeah.
Like she's like, this is a fucked up situation.
Like her whole life has been like helping people.
Yeah.
You know, like going where she needs to be. Mm-hmm. And now that she finds people that she can't help.
Yeah. Like she can't space blast, you know, this problem.
I mean, she could.
She could. She could just wipe them all out and just get it over with. Yeah. I don't think she ever thought about that, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, like Captain Marvel's super powerful. She can like stop whatever big bad villain or whatever. But complex situations like this, it's kind of cool to see how she reacts.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the situation that like she's in. I think that's a pretty creative way to like show how she deals with like this conflict.
Yeah.
But so that's issue 3. Do you have anything else for that one?
Go to page 54. So the helmet and mohawk thing, that just like appears. Like it's like,
oh yeah.
But then like in this bottom panel, it looks like she has like cat ears or something.
Yeah, when it like retracts, it like does something weird.
Yeah, so like, I'm like, are those your ears? But no, that's like her helmet, like
it's like retracting back into like rescinding. Her suit or something?
Something like that.
Yeah. I wish
it doesn't seem like her suit is like got any like nanotech kind of stuff to it.
No.
It just seems like leather.
So it's just weird that it comes in out of nowhere and then like also styles her hair into like a mohawk.
Yeah.
So I wish she could just like put something on, you know, it doesn't take that long.
And like, so like it basically just kind of pushes her hair into this, like into the mohawk, you mm-hmm. know? And then I think because she's in space, it stands up.
Yeah.
You know, but like, how do you like make a helmet that like airlocks with your hair in it? You know?
I don't think it does.
So how's the hair stick out? But and how does she not die? Can she breathe in space?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think she needs
this. It's valid.
Yeah. So I don't think she worries about that too much.
All right, I'll cut that out.
She does it for... No, don't cut it out. I'm going to bring it up later.
I'm going to look stupid.
I'm going to bring it up later and you're going to look dumb.
Nah, all right, issue 4.
Okay, all right. Yeah, issue 4.
Oh, dude. This Lionel Francis U variant is sick.
Yeah, dude, he crushes,
destroys it.
Dude, like she's like powering up her hands or whatever, and yeah. Like just the design they decided to go with,
mm-hmm.
with her hands being charged.
Yeah,
and so sick.
Sunny Go on colors, killing it too.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Like with the realistic space.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I always appreciate that. I guess. There's realistic space in this book too, but it's different.
Something about it.
Yeah, something about it.
So Leonidas holds like a committee meeting thing where the people debate on whether they should go and leave the sick behind or stay and probably die. We meet just a big cast of characters. So we meet Gil, Sentimalt, and Jackie, who are aliens in the story that like try to think of a way to like haul everybody out. But they are attacked by more Hefensai, and Captain Marvel offers to try and put a stop to it. And there are times in this book I notice where it gets very yellow, and I don't really understand why.
They're in Mexico.
They must be in like Mexico or Egypt or something. Because
it's like the Mexico of this planet.
It's the Mexico filter.
Well, I guess like...
If they're outside, I guess?
Yeah, because they're outside in the last issue, and it wasn't yellow at all.
Yeah, so that's why I'm confused.
Maybe it's the golden hour.
They have like a crazy golden hour?
Yeah. It's like actually gold.
It's probably what it is.
Like,
but like that confuses me because there are some characters that like look kind of alike, and like this big yellow filter doesn't really pop the colors at all.
Yeah, but everyone's like different looking enough. Like they are different species and like sizes and whatnot. So yeah. That didn't bother me. But like if you're not able to like adapt colors to this like filter, you know, you like can't be like a comic book colorist, you know?
Yeah.
You have to be able to like do all these colors in different lighting and mm-hmm. stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Or else it's boring, I guess.
Yeah, no, I agree. And so Leonidas makes a call with this dude named Jason, and he's like a guy from the Galactic Council trying to rule over Torfa, or he's, I guess, the one that helped get them to that planet.
Yeah.
And he's like, ooh, we got to get you out.
Mm-hmm.
And so he gives Leonidas 3 days to organize just 1,000 of her people for an evacuation. And so she's like, well, shit, I got to figure that out now. And then Captain Marvel and crew go to a planet where there's more Hefensei, like doing shady business. They steal some like parts and stuff. And then they see part of Jason's men there. And so she's like, ooh, this guy's kind of sketchy, but he's supposed to be good. And Captain Marvel's crew want to do the same thing on another planet where the Hefensei typically are. And so I think a big thing about this book that kind of puts me off of it is that there's too many like groups that are just mentioned in passing. We don't really see a good example of them like at the time when they bring them up.
Yeah.
Like I'm cool with there being like a Hefensei, but that took me a little while to realize that they're like pirates. Uh-huh. And it's cool that there's like the Spartax, but I didn't really know who they were affiliated with. They're just like talking about them, you know?
That's like what Peter Quill is. He's like the Prince of Spartax.
See, I didn't know that.
They said
there's
it.
Also
they a, said in the beginning.
You but should've. They know there's also a Galactic Alliance, builders, and whatever races on Torva, you know, mm-hmm. Torfa. So it's like, how do all these elements play in together? It's kind of hard to construct in my mind.
I guess if it was like simpler, then it might seem like too simple for like space, you know, because like yeah. all these things have been like established maybe at some point. And I feel like every other planet in like the Marvel universe is the most like diverse planet other than like Earth, you know, like they have, it's like a Star Wars effect where it's like all these different species and things like that. And they just kind of coexist.
You think so?
Yeah.
Cause like we have like humans, but right. we also have like giraffe, you know, or like okay. dog.
You're okay. Yeah.
Or shark.
Or shark.
And then if we go to like Tatooine or whatever, there's like human and then like Jawa.
And
Sarlacc.
Like the Greedo guy.
Okay, that's a bad example. But if we go to like any other planet, like Kashyyyk, you just got Wookiees.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you narrow it down.
But we haven't like seen that much of Kashyyyk, like, I guess.
But then you go to like fucking...
Name another planet challenge.
I was going to say Naboo, but that's not a good example.
I don't even know which one that is, so you could have used it.
That's like the swampy planet.
Is that Naboo?
What's the one where like the Jedi Council is?
That's Coruscant.
Coruscant. Yeah, tons of people on Coruscant.
People.
That's like New York.
Well, yeah, it's like the New York of planets, though.
Yeah.
So it's like you're going to find a lot of...
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
A lot of planets are like that, though.
You're going to find...
But you can go...
What's Dak Daxter? What's his name? The fucking... Oh, my God.
Like Jack and Daxter?
No. Dex... Fuck. Hold on. It's like Obi-Wan's friend, and he's like, hey, what's up? And he like owns a bar or like a diner or whatever.
Huh? What Obi-Wan friend?
Hold on. You'll know. It's in the prequels. Dexter Jetster. That's what it is.
Oh.
You don't know that motherfucker?
Is he the one with like the lips?
He's got some lips on him, that's for sure. He's got like four arms. Hold on. He like walks up to you and he's like, what the fuck is up, Obi-Wan?
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Owns a sick like fucking Waffle House in Coruscant. Anyway, what were you going to say?
I forget.
I forget too. I had to remember his name. Worth it though.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So I guess the planet they used to be on was just like those people.
Yes.
You know, but then that was destroyed. So they had to go to like.
They were refuge on the Torfa.
Right.
But it turns out Torfa is poisonous and there's people dying and they're like, we got to move again.
Yeah. And then they but go to annoying. Like they're one of these like civilization like planets.
Mm-hmm.
Urser 4, where they have like.
No, that's where the Hefensei are doing shady business.
Never mind. All right, let's keep going. Yeah, let's keep moving.
There's a lot of planets too. And it's like, it's like cosmic books are so fun. They're so fun. They could be so good, but you got to be very careful. That's the only thing I'm
like, you can drop some names,
but like, don't make me remember it.
Yeah. Like need to remember it to understand.
Yeah. Or like if you're going to drop a planet name, don't be on there for like 5 total panels. You know,
I think you can do that, but like maybe have like the, like the majority of the story is on like Torfa.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's fine because I know that that's where like the people are.
I feel like if you're on it for more than 5 panels, then you'd feel more obligated to remember it.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why that's when you give it a name.
But I guess you just said don't remember it.
I don't want to remember Ursa 2. Well, I guess this one's kind of smart because there's Ursa 2 and Ursa 4.
Yeah.
So like, those are the two planets that the pirates are doing shady business on. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, that's not super hard to remember because it's just numbered. I don't even know what point I'm trying to make anymore.
Yeah, I know.
I just contradicted myself. Never mind. You know what you're doing, Kelly Sue. Don't listen to me. Issue 5, Daniel.
I accidentally like... So I was like scrolling to see like when the back matter started. And then
see what their goal is.
Yeah. And I scrolled back and started reading like issue 6 instead of 5.
Mm.
And it still honestly made sense.
You know, I believe that. So you didn't read issue 5 at all?
No, I went back. Okay. And then reread 6. But like now that 5 was included, I'm like, oh, this is like one of the more important ones.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. There's some cool stuff that happens out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But, so there's a big fight on Ursa 4. Captain Marvel discovers that the resource the Hefensei are stealing from Torfa can't be destroyed, even with like a big Captain Marvel blast. And we find out it's vibranium.
Yes, sir.
That they are interrupting the transport for, which the Hefensei were supposed to deliver to Spardax or like Jason's people. So Jason's like, fuck it, I'm going to just attack everyone on Torfa.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like this idea of vibranium like occurring naturally in space somewhere.
Yeah.
I think it's cool.
Pretty cool. Because a lot of elements, most elements, I guess, are like, or a lot of them are like in space and stuff. And only so many are like
on Earth.
And some are even like man-made.
Well, didn't like vibranium come in like a big meteor or something? Isn't that what happened in Black Panther?
Yeah, that had to come from somewhere.
Yeah, but isn't that how they explained it in the movie?
Maybe.
It was like it came from like a big meteor and it just landed in Wakanda. What ended up becoming. Yeah, anyway. So I guess it normally appears in space and just isn't on Earth.
Yeah.
So anyway, the crew goes back to Torfa to tell Leonides that vibranium is a naturally occurring resource on Torfa, which is like super sick for them. But when they mine it incorrectly, it causes that poison that is creating the sickness for her people. And so Leonides decides, well, shit, we got to fight back with Captain Marvel. But before they can really even do anything, the Spartax people are there. And so Leonides surrenders. She sends Captain Marvel away. But Captain Marvel's like, nah, I don't like this. So she goes back to Torfa, but stays in space to fight off the Spartax fleet.
So there is like a proper way to mine the vibranium. But because like this, Jason didn't want like them knowing that this like valuable resource is there, he had to like speed up the process and doing this like non-humane way of like mining it.
Yeah,
which causes all of these fumes or something.
It causes fumes and like it goes into like the water supply and shit, I guess. So.
Which is cool because like I feel like I'm learning. Like, yeah. I didn't know that was a byproduct of mining vibranium.
Yeah, you could like fuck it up.
Yeah, and like it's cool because it also has like value other places in the universe, you know?
Yeah, like they're trying to use it to create like ships.
That'd be crazy.
Which would, I guess, help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure would.
Well, like, yeah, it would help protect, you know, it just strengthen their hull and stuff. So pretty cool. I like that idea.
I always thought it was so weird that cars weren't made out of metal. I'm like, why wouldn't they
explain? Show your work.
So you know how like cars are made out of like plastic, basically, like the outside.
No, the outside's made out of like aluminum.
No, it's, no, like you know how you hit another car and there's like a dent in
that, like crumples and shit.
Yeah, it's like plastic.
I guess.
Yeah, and I always thought, I'm like, oh, why don't I feel like cars would survive and be less damaged if they were just made out of metal?
But you don't want that,
right?
Because you want them to crumple and take the force of the crash.
Correct.
Yes.
See, before I knew that.
Oh, yeah. You're like,
I was like,
I got a great idea, guys.
Yeah. All our cars would survive.
I got some steel right here. Let me show you how this shit works. It's pretty strong.
Yeah. And so I didn't know science that well.
Well, there's like these two guys that are part of this book and they live in like exoskeleton suits. And I have no idea what they contribute.
I think they're the miners, aren't they?
Are they the miners?
Or something. I always thought it was weird. Like, Eliandes was like pretty determined to, you know, help her people and all this shit. And then like she just hears like a little bit from Jason, like a message that this one girl like gives her and just like surrenders. I'm like, yeah. After all of this, you're just going to surrender?
She's like, ooh, yeah, you're right. That's it.
Yeah.
Well, like they didn't have any time to like prepare.
Yeah.
To like stop them. You
like
know?
They don't have like a fleet of their own or anything.
No, they don't. Which is a thing in this book that I'll talk about. But real quick, the design of Eliandes, I just noticed right now that her pupils are diamond, which is kind of cool.
Oh, cool.
She kind of looks like a lizard lady. When she gets really angry, she has like this little, her hair like sticks up, which I think is kind of cool.
Oh, yeah. She looks like that one dinosaur.
Yeah, from Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
The one that they invented.
Is that not a real dinosaur?
No, I don't know. That was a joke. It's probably a real dinosaur, but. Also, there's like too many people in this briefing room, like telling Eliandes like what's going on. There's like 100 people in here. It feels like.
Yeah, it's like these are all people that have spoken during this comic,
but I don't know any of their names.
I'm like, do they all need to be in here to help?
It could have been like two of them that knows what's going on.
But yeah.
Anyway, issue 6. So Captain Marvel just kind of goes headfirst into the fleet that are trying to get onto Torfa. So she's kind of doing all the work in space. Eliandes wants to talk to Jason specifically since she was given 3 days to evacuate, which hasn't happened yet. But the Spartax soldiers have already started like trying to harm the Torfa people. And yeah, when Eliandes, I can't even remember her name. Eliandes.
Yeah.
Tries
either one works.
When she tries talking to like that random lieutenant chick about talking to Jason, she responds with a line that I think goes kind of hard. She says, when I want to talk to my God, I pray. And I'm like, damn, that she's really putting Jason on like the super high pedestal.
Right.
Which I think is it's a cool line. But Eliandes sends...
You say it differently like every time.
I keep forgetting. It's too complicated of a name. So she sends whatever ships they have into space, which is just two of them, I guess. And there's like a point that she makes that like one of the people when they were stealing like parts from the Fensai, they're like, we got some ship parts. We can fix up some ships. But I don't know when she would have had the time to like make those ships because it seems like they just got back. They tell her about what's going on. They go outside and like Spartax is there. So it's like it doesn't feel like there's any time there. But anyway, those two ships go off to fight the entire fleet of like 1,000 ships. For Captain Marvel, while Captain Marvel flies into the vibranium mines and blows them up, which pisses off Jason. And then Captain Marvel's like, hey, I'm going to broadcast to the universe what you did, and that's going to look bad on you. And so the Spartax fleet just leaves, and then Torfa is all good now. And then the end.
My favorite panel was, so Jason's being like projected in Torfa or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And right after all the vibranium is blown up, he's like screaming, right? And he's like, I will blow this whole damn planet.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you what?
You're going to do one now?
And not a soul in the galaxy will even know to mourn. And I was like, is this a typo?
How hard are you blowing him? I will blow the whole damn planet.
Did you catch that too?
I did not think of it that way, but that's pretty funny.
You just put up and then you're good. You know?
Yeah, that's true. It seems like there's too much to kind of cram in there at the end.
Yeah, you get a page wrap up.
Yeah, you get one page to be like, cool, we're all good. Later.
Yeah, and Captain Marvel just leaves like a little mixtape or whatever.
Yeah, she leaves a Guardians of the Galaxy mixtape for, yeah. I think that's Jackie.
Little playlist.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate.
Yeah, it's cool.
I think I'd rather have more story, you know, throughout the trade than have extra... like wrap up that makes sense, I guess. That feels like natural.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because
she leaves, she has like a little picture of like all the people she helped in the background. I don't know who printed that or when she had time to, but that's nice.
Yeah, get that like developed and stuff.
Yeah, it feels like those two ships should not have survived fighting off like 1,000 other spaceships.
Good pilot, I guess.
But I guess, you know, it's about the pilot, not the plane or whatever.
It's kind of like a cop out. Plot wise, where she's like, oh, I don't like goodbyes, you know, and so
she just leaves.
Just one page of wrap up, you know,
like you saved their entire existence.
Yeah, like the species.
You can be like, I'm gonna head out,
save them from extinction.
Yeah, And she's like, ah, I'll just leave.
Yep, you got it. Bye.
Yeah. But anyway, let's get into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters.
So we got some covers. We got Scotty Young one. You got to get those.
Classic.
A furry variant.
By David Lopez.
Which is great.
Yeah.
I think that's cool. J.G. Jones.
Wow.
And I think that's the wanted guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think his head's a little too big.
A little too big.
Her head's a little too big. That's fine.
Or just make the body a little bigger, you know?
Yeah, something like that.
But like...
cool cover.
The parts are cool. Yeah.
Yeah. We got R. Adams.
Dang, dude.
What?
I don't know. I didn't look at the Back Matter, so okay. Whoa, cool, R. Adams.
And that's it. That's all we got for Back Matter. Not a whole lot, but whatever.
Yeah, it's better than nothing.
Yeah. Dan, what would you rate this book?
Dude, the next volume is called Stay Fly.
Ooh.
Which is a 10 out of 10 trade name.
Yeah, 100%. This did not change my opinion of Captain Marvel, really, which is not like, I don't think badly of her or anything, but I'm just like.
Yeah, I feel like I didn't learn that much. I guess if I wanted to learn, like I could go like even deeper into like origin kind of stuff. I really just wanted to read like kind of the start of Kelly Sue's run, which we did not do.
which we failed to do. It's weird that this one comes up.
Because why
first,
like,
when you like look for it? Like when you
it's got to be more popular, right?
Like if I were to type Captain Marvel, Kelly Sue DeConnick, I think that's like just the one that comes up.
Right. I guess we need to just double check that when it comes to big two stuff.
Yeah. But, especially if they've been on multiple times.
But normally
I just Googled it and like it's literally like this trade that comes up. So it's strange.
It's fine. I'm sure like.
It's good. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll go do the other one when Captain Marvel comes back around, I guess. If that ever happens. Yeah, I give it like a like it, you know, like a cookies and cream ice cream, but I'm like a little pretentious about it. And I add Oreos to the cookies and cream ice cream, you know.
Sure, okay.
Maybe some chocolate chips and like a little hot fudge drizzle.
I
think that hit the spot.
That's good.
Yeah,
I would give it a like it, but what I ordered was a love it, and they just accidentally gave me like the wrong size.
So because we tried, you ordered to love it and you gotta like it.
We were trying to read the beginning of the run, right? But we fucked up. And like, then we read like in the middle.
Yeah.
Kind of like Kelly Sue DeConnick's work. And I think it would have been nicer to read the beginning, but you know, whatever. Still pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Like you order strawberry ice cream, but you got like strawberry sorbet or something.
Yeah. Yeah. That's probably a better.
Like a sherbet.
Yeah. They fuck up like the kind of strawberry that it is.
You're very vague about what you ordered.
Yeah.
But you're like too nice because they already added the toppings to the ice cream.
I will never return food, I think. Unless it's like blatantly terrible.
I
they've done.
There's a funny TikTok that it was like just some dude like preaching or something. And there's this like woman behind him. She was like. And it's like me watching my girl send my food back.
<You know? laughs> Yeah, it would be so. I'll just eat it. I'm not like picky or anything when it comes to food, so it's just like whatever.
Yeah, like you ask for something, you don't get it. Is it that big of a deal? Not really.
Like the most I think I've ever been pissed off with like an order being wrong is like I didn't get fire sauce.
That really fucks up your Taco Bell order,
it does,
right? Doesn't
dude,
it?
It does.
And it's like but mild, I still ate mild it. Will not do.
And you know, I learned and I grew as a person from that because now I have a stash of Taco Bell sauce packets in my pantry.
That's smart.
So if anything, you know, it helped.
I don't like when they forget an item. That's like the worst thing.
That is bad.
Because I never like over order.
Yeah.
I order like exactly what I need, mm-hmm. you know? And so if something's missing, it like kind of fucks up my flow.
If something's missing, I'll ask. Like if I'm at a sit down restaurant and something's missing, then I'll ask. That's fine. But yeah. Like if they get it wrong and they're like, you had the fucking salad, right? I'll be like, fuck, I guess so. Yeah.
No, I'll be a dick about beers. Like if I ordered like a beer, like a.
Really?
I'll like, and it's been like a minute.
Just drink that one. Be like, hey, this is wrong, what? Actually. So give me, no. No, I would drink it and be like.
And I'll like stop people when they're walking to get like another beer, you know?
Wow.
So. Or like their hands are full, but like, excuse me. No, I've never done that, but you know.
That's funny. Anyway, let's get into the poll list, Colin.
Shove in your box.
The poll list. What did you shove in your box?
Very, very light week.
I think I needed this.
I needed this as well, because last 2 weeks have been hectic, and I haven't been able to catch up on any of them, really.
I was worried. I'm like, oh, man, I didn't go last week. Or I went on, like, Tuesday night, and they're putting out, or maybe it was Monday night, and they're putting out books for Tuesday, mm-hmm. and they only gave me, like, one or two of the books I was going to get the next day.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm like, oh, I'm missing one for that week. And so I'm like, I worry because they, like, pile up mm-hmm. if I don't go every week. But I'm going to get Godzilla, Here There Be Dragons, number 5.
Yep.
I think that's the last one of that series. I guess it's just like a mini series. And then Ultimate Universe, number 1.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
I walked into the shop. I looked at everything on the wall, and I was like, I don't need any of this.
And you walked out?
No, I picked up Ultimate Universe, number 1. Just because, like, I'd feel like such a dick walking in. Not a dick.
Weren't you going to get it anyway?
I think I would have. Yeah. So I just got that.
I'm totally okay with that.
I'm cool with that too, because I picked up, like, the last 2 weeks, like, the average books that I would be getting, like, those 2 weeks, like, went way up. And
if
so I need
I
to
ever
need some of those.
Get into a spot where I'm picking up one book, I'm buying a trade, you know?
I thought about it, but then I was like, I'm still just behind.
Who cares?
I mean, perpetually, I'm always going to be behind, but, like, I want to.
Have you bought?
I want to catch up on
have
some
you bought
things.
My Christmas gift?
No, that would have been a good time to do it, I guess.
Yeah. Have you bought our Trade Raiders gift? Or no, I guess the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really remember that. I'm like, oh, we do have something in coming up. Did you read anything?
I did not really have time to read anything new.
I guess
I had a busy week.
Yeah, you did.
Mm-hmm.
I read Avengers Inc.
Okay.
By Al Ewing. And so I thought on the cover it was like Vision. There's like Vision and Wasp.
Mm-hmm.
There's some detective thing. But it's actually Victor Shade. Do you know who that is?
That sounds pretty familiar.
He's got like eyes and then like a diamond. So it looks like
Vision.
Vision in like that cover.
That's funny.
And so. And
what a cool name.
The cliffhanger was that the thing that happened in the first issue was caused by Eric O'Grady and Hank Pym.
Whoa.
I was like, well, hold on a second. Wait. Whoa. A fucking minute. And so I think because it's Janet Van Dyne and then also Hank Pym is at the end of this one, it's like somehow a continuation of Al Ewing's like Ant-Man and Wasp series.
Yeah.
So I'm like, does he have this like little...
Does he have this like huge saga that he's doing?
Ewingiverse thing, you know?
A Ewingers?
A Ewingers?
So Victor Shade is Vision.
He is?
I looked up Victor Shade and there's a bunch of pictures of Vision.
Okay, so I wasn't wrong.
I don't think you're completely wrong, but you don't seem right either.
So there is some villain, like B-level villain of the Wasp called like Whirlwind or something. And he like dies. And then I guess Vic Shea just like inhabits his body somehow.
Okay.
And like almost changes like his facial structure.
So he was born and raised in Hell's Kitchen. He is the son of Reyna Alvarez and former criminal Shades. When does he become Vision though?
Maybe he's
Victor Shade inhabits the body of the mutant speedster Whirlwind.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
He employs these abilities very distinctly, but then why does he look like Vision?
I don't know.
Mm. What a weird character to throw in there.
Yeah.
to an Avengers book. But he's a good guy?
Now, because for some reason he's like interested in why his like body was murdered or whatever. Anyway, it was like kind of cool. Like it was like a not like a boring concept, but I just don't think I'll continue with it.
That's fair.
So
you gave it a shot.
Yeah. And I read Hack Slash, Back to School.
Yep.
Did you read that?
And I need to. It's on the top.
And I need to what?
I need to read it.
Oh, I need to?
Yeah. 92% of it.
If you ever need to read something and you don't want me to keep talking about it, just say 92.
92.
So I don't know what to kind of like expect with...
Me neither.
Zoe Thorogood, you know, just going into like a property, you know?
Oh, okay.
And she's doing really fucking good so far. I don't know how involved she is with like... I know she's writing it, but like since it's like a Tim Seeley property, like... Does he like weigh in on it?
I would assume so, I think he's like, I need someone to like make a book.
Yeah, maybe. No, I don't know if he's outlining it, but he probably
like consults or whatever, but he's probably just like, go crazy because you're crazy as an artist. Yeah. So did you know that Tim Seeley gives out comics for Halloween instead of candy?
That's sick, dude.
I'm like, dude, I should do that.
Dude, if I had like a shit ton of comps I don't give a shit about, or
I think what I'm gonna do is like every like random one shot I buy, or if I buy like a number one that I don't really care about, I'm not gonna continue. I'm just gonna give out those number ones.
That's valid.
Yeah.
Are you gonna bag them?
I'll bag them. That's fine.
Keep them safe.
But he said like it was like a Tim Seeley tweet, and he's like, I'm got revitalized with the future of print comics because of how excited kids got when I gave them comics for Halloween. And I'm like, that's pretty so sick. Dope.
Yeah. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Because you can't poison comics.
You can't. You're not putting razor blades in comics that well. So.
Yeah. And like, that's got to be good for like local sales, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. So you could put like a business card of like Ash Ave or whatever, like in the bag and board with it. And do you want more of this shit?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm sure Tim Seeley kind of like consulted with her at least, but yeah. So, but so she was really good.
Yeah, it's
really
awesome. It's great.
Nice. Yeah. Story's good too.
Or? I didn't know what to expect, but I am invested story wise.
Nice.
The art is very good. I think like with Lonely, it was more like creative with like what she was doing with the medium, but just like normal kind of fantasy stuff, she can pull off really well too.
Yeah.
Which
she just
impressive.
Did a Harley. She was part of a Harley anthology like a couple weeks ago.
The black, white, and red or whatever. Sick, sick, sick. But yeah, pretty good. I'm going to keep up with that.
Nice.
I read a manga called Goodbye, Eri.
Where's she going?
She dies.
Ooh, maybe, I knew that was coming.
Maybe. It's written by Tatsuki Fujimoto, who is the creator of Chainsaw Man.
Oh, cool.
And this is like the thing that he wrote in between like the first part of Chainsaw Man and then like the current part. You remember how the first part was like 100 issues or 100 chapters or whatever?
I don't remember
that,
but
then
sure.
There's a hiatus, and I was really excited for when Chainsaw Man come back.
Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah, so this is what he did during the hiatus. This thing was like a mind fuck because like there was like an unreliable narrator, you know, which is like really cool.
Like he would tell you the wrong thing.
Like you would see a thing and then end up not being a real thing, and you just kind of like never really know when it's like a real thing until it's kind of like revealed. So there was like a bunch of twists in this, you know? So it's technically called like a one shot, but it was like 100 or 200 pages, you know?
Just, yeah. Okay.
But after reading this, I was like, I think this is genius. You know?
Wow.
Cause I was like,
the G word.
Yeah, I was reading it. I'm like, this is like something I wish like I could have wrote because of like how good it is. And if I tried to write something like it, it'd feel like copying too much, you know? And so it was just like, heartbreaking and like insanely like creative, you know?
Wow.
And it kind of felt like if Ryan Johnson like wrote a manga.
Whoa.
You know what I mean? And I fucking loved it.
That's cool.
Because it's like manga and it was like 200 pages, you could read it in like one sitting, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's like 30 minutes maybe.
That's satisfying.
And so I really blew through it, and like there's like plenty of like silent pages and stuff like that. It's about this like kid who like likes making movies with like his iPhone or whatever.
Okay.
And I like so this. Something that you might not like is like it's a lot of wide panels. Like it's like a 4-panel grid, but like it's not always that. You know what
okay,
I mean?
Okay.
But it's pretty sick. I think we can honestly like do
is
like,
it wide panels because it's supposed to be like an iPhone?
Yeah.
Shot? That's fine.
Okay.
I think that's fine. But like when you resort to just like rectangles going down a page, like Mark Miller does sometimes, I feel. It's like do something creative, you know?
Sure. So yeah, I like this is on like the Shonen Jump app that I have, but I'm going to like buy it physically because I want it physically.
Nice.
That's cool.
Wow. What a big review.
Yeah. If you ever do an episode, I'll like buy it and you can read that, you know?
Okay.
So pretty sick. Recommend.
So you said it was genius. That's cool.
I think it's genius. Yeah. So you read
it and you're like, I hit the G spot.
Yeah.
Nice.
I bought that, the Hellboy game.
Okay.
Did you buy it?
No. I've seen it though.
You don't like it?
I don't think I would be into it.
Why?
Repetitive.
Yeah. Would you watch like a playthrough or something?
On Steam, they have like the first 16 minutes on a trailer. And I'm like, this is the same. And then I was like, I don't know if I'd be into this, but maybe it gets crazier or something. And so then I just like went on Twitch and I just looked it up. There's like two people playing it in total. Like this is like the day it came out.
Yeah.
And so I looked at someone that had spent 4 hours and 4.5 hours playing it. And it looks like the same. Nothing really changed.
Is it the same setting?
Yeah.
Fuck.
No, it got a little bit more purple.
Okay, good. All
right. So you played it?
Well, yeah. So I played it. I played about like 3 or 4 hours.
What I think is strongest about it is definitely how it looks.
100%.
When you just take a picture of it, like a screenshot.
I think it works when it moves.
I think it works pretty good too. I think Hellboy himself and like some of the people that are moving, the frame rate that they move is just like a little bit off because it's not like a normal like 60 FPS.
Sure.
But the cel shading of it looks great. Like everybody looks like a Mignola, like drawn character kind of come to life.
It's like a really small game.
Yeah.
Like size wise.
And like layout of it just seems
like it very downloaded repetitive. Like before the time I could pee, you know?
Yeah. Well, like the people that made the game, mm-hmm. the studio that made it has only made like one other game before, I think.
Interesting.
And it was kind of like a similar like cel shaded game. Like I've seen it before, but I'd never played it. And so I was like, okay, this makes sense. So I think it's like a small studio, but yeah. What did you think?
So I didn't like it at first because I think it just took some getting used to. Like the cutscenes aren't great. Like there's no like animation of the mouths moving. Yeah, that's the thing
that annoyed me a little bit too. Because so they just like freeze the characters in place. And then
But it's like Lance Reddick, like voice acting for him, which is cool.
Is that the guy that passed away?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know. That's kind of cool though.
So that's cool to see. So the you have to like really get used to like the fighting style because there's like big monster guys and they are much stronger than you and they're much harder to kill. And so it's like this fighting style where you have to like hit them like one or two times and then
dodge.
You have to dodge like a ton in order to survive. And you can like upgrade like the stuff that you have. Like he has like his gun. Punch with like his big fist, which is really helpful. Mm-hmm. And you can upgrade your gun and shit. You have the shield thing you can do. Mm-hmm. So there's ways to like do it. But if you die, like you go back to like this BPRD or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you have to like restart like the level.
Yikes.
And it's very infuriating. But if you die, you can take like the currency or whatever that you had and upgrade your shit. Mm-hmm. But I had to do that like 3 times in order to like get to like the end of that level just to die to the boss.
Yeah.
And so okay. I haven't revisited it since then.
Well, have you played a game like this before? It's called a roguelike.
Probably not. What's a roguelike?
It's just kind of that. You like lock on to like a big thing and you have to hit it a bunch of times. And you kind of have to memorize like the movements of the thing that you're fighting and like when to dodge.
Yeah. I mean, the first time I fought it, like, first of all, like the designs of the guys are really cool.
Yeah.
And I think agree. I was a little more distracted by that. I'm like, I just want to look at this guy.
Yeah, it does look very cool to look at.
The boss kind of reminded me of like Bird King. And so I was like, cool. I thought it just looked super cool.
Yeah.
And there's like new elements in the boss battle.
Okay.
That I didn't know about. Like he hits like some pillars and you can pick up like the wreckage of the pillars and throw those at him. I didn't know that.
That's cool.
And also just like, that round I had got like a shotgun instead of the pistol. And I think the pistol's a little bit better, but like, I'm not sure.
Okay.
Like, and so it's like a lot of troubleshooting. I just hope that like after I kill the boss, there's like just a different map.
Yeah.
Or something. Because like if it's just that, that'd be kind of a bummer.
Yeah, I think that's what I was scared of because one, I went to go like buy the game and it was like already on sale. And I'm like, this is weird. But it was only on sale. It was only on Steam, yeah. It was only on sale for like a couple of days. And so I'm like, are they trying to get this like ramped up? I don't know. But yeah, the thing I was scared of the most is it just getting like repetitive and they don't have enough to like keep it fresh. Because like the first 16 minutes, you know, whatever. But then when I look at somebody else who's further in the game and it's a lot of like, open a gate, you're in a room, kill the people in that room, go into the next room, kill the people in that room, go into the next room.
A lot of that, yeah.
It's a lot of that. And so
it's not like not breaking any boundaries as far as like gameplay.
Yeah, I just don't know what, I guess what I was looking for, but I was really excited about it. And then I saw stuff about it and I was like, I just don't think I'll enjoy it.
So, I just kind of went into it and it was like $25 or something. I'm like,
yeah, that's so at least price. It's not the price of a full game, but yeah.
Because of how small it was, I'm like, oh shit, it might be just this one
level. Is there level. Like a good story? Like, I know you're kind of investigating a murder or something, right?
I don't think I haven't gotten to that part. I think lore wise, it's cool because like, there's like demons and stuff that like help you or whatever. And there's like, you're kind of learning about this place that you're in and also just these side characters that are added to it. So like, I think when you go into this without knowing anything about Hellboy, like in like the books, then you're going to like learn a lot, you know,
sure,
which is cool. And there's a lot of things that are introduced that make it seem like it's going to be a longer game. Like there's this like trophy room kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, something's supposed to go in here. I don't know what it is. I don't know what I'm supposed to collect to put in here, but it makes it seem like there's a lot to the game that, so I'd get these artifacts to put in there or whatever.
Yeah.
So I don't know if maybe I just need to like dumb down the difficulty or something so that it's more fun.
Maybe.
But.
Cause it seems like they tried to go Hellboy like universe, but then put like a little bit of Dark Souls in it, which is like fighting big monsters and you have to like memorize their moves sets and stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't think it didn't seem like they quite made that mark with like keeping the combat and stuff fresh. So
yeah, if there was like half the combat, I'd probably like it way more.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Anyway, I'll let you know how that goes.
Cool.
Did you watch anything?
I watched Goosebumps.
The new show?
Yeah.
With Justin Long?
With Justin Long in it.
The Scream King?
Yeah, exactly.
How was that?
It's actually pretty good.
It looks not good. It looks like cheesy.
I don't think it is. It's pretty cool. It's like, I think they really nailed like horror, but like spooky horror. You know, because it's supposed to be for kids. Goosebumps is for kids. So I think they like nailed that part of it.
Is that the thing that Jack Black was in? Like the movie?
He was in a Goosebumps movie, yeah.
Okay.
But this one, it's kind of interesting because it takes like elements of the books. Like there's different, each episode's kind of like taking ideas of like a different book.
Yeah.
And then, but it's all in like a small town. So like
those each are the best covers.
Dude, they are.
Those are
they?
So sick. I remember thinking back to them and I would just like getting the covers, like taking it out of the library just for the cover.
Yeah,
and
the
I wouldn't
cover, read shit. The cover's sick, dude.
Yeah.
Dude, we've been comic book pilled since the beginning. Okay. Just drawn to like a sweet cover. But no, it's kind of interesting because it's just kind of set in like a small town and like really all the Goosebumps things are happening like just like a group of kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they all kind of like connect, but like each kid is experiencing like a weird, different Goosebumps-esque thing. And then there's a through line of like their parents are like trying to hide something.
Okay.
And you know, who knows? Actually, I know.
I saw a clip that. And it was like Justin Long and he got like possessed by something and he like lifts his head and smiles.
Yep.
And then Goosebumps by like Travis Scott starts playing. And I'm like, what?
Actually, some of the like
genius
end credits like music bangs. I'm like, whoever's in charge of like selecting just random ass songs.
Like I would never make the connection of Travis Scott Goosebumps to Goosebumps by R.L. Stein.
Awesome. It's incredible.
Or maybe that song is about Goosebumps, the books that Travis Scott used to read as a kid.
Yeah. It maybe. But,
and so I don't know. I was a little cringe. I'm like, this is hilarious though.
Yeah. That specifically was pretty funny. I remember. But Justin Long is in it like quite a bit. I thought he was just going to be like,
I thought he'd be like a main character, like he's solving the mysteries or something.
Like he's like a main character.
But not the main character?
I wouldn't say the main character, but he's like he shows up like a lot.
Okay.
I was like scared that he'd only be in like one episode. I wasn't really sure if it was like an anthology or what.
But yeah.
He's pretty prominent in it and he's really good.
Cool.
So it's pretty fun. But like the like horror aspects of it, I think they did really good for like kids can watch it, but it's like still really creative. And I'm like, okay, I've never seen something like that before.
That's cool.
Like there's a spirit that's coming around and it's like a kid that died in like a fire. And like some people see like his spirit. And when they see his spirit, like it's just a normal looking kid. But when they like lock eyes, he like yells at them, and then his whole body like slowly like bursts into flames, or it's like becomes like burnt skin and stuff. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty freaky. But it's not like, it's like, it's still like pretty appropriate, I would say, for like kids that are like 13 or whatever. So
yeah,
I think they hit their mark pretty well. So it's kind of fun.
I feel like when you're 13, you're probably already watching like,
you probably watch like movies. Bloody shit. Like yeah. You've seen some worse shit, but yeah. It's cool. And then so if you want something that's like solid, or like you just like Goosebumps, I think you'd enjoy it because there's references and stuff in there. But
right.
I also played a horror game called Devour.
Cool.
And it's just like a multiplayer like thing where it's just based off of, it's just one of those like horror games where you're just in a map and you have to do something, and there's like a monster that's kind of just like navigating the map and trying to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
But there's like an extra added twist where like there's different maps and stuff, but they're all based around like a demon cult, and they worship this demon named Azazel. And so
he's in books that we've read.
Yeah. And this one's interesting because there's things that you have to like do a certain amount of times.
They say Azazel, right?
Azazel, yeah.
Yeah. Because he is in like, I think he was in like, was in like Constantine or something.
Oh, okay.
And you're like Azazel? I'm like, I don't think so.
That's fair. Yeah, I only know it's Azazel because it's like that. Yeah. The game says it.
You know, Azazel was in like Supernatural. That's the only reason why I knew it. He's like the first villain, you know?
Yeah. That's cool.
Is he yellow at all?
So you don't see Azazel. There's people that worship Azazel and then they get possessed. And so it creates a variety for like what the main monster coming after you looks like. Like one of them turns into like a fucking spider and it's really disgusting.
Hmm.
And each map has like its own like kind of gimmick thing that you have to do. So like there's one where you have to like kill a bunch of like goats because they like worship goats or something. And so you have to do this like ritual with goats that you find around. So you have to
kill Tom Brady.
Pretty much. Uh-huh. Yeah. You got to get Tom Brady. You got to get LeBron. Got to kill him.
No, Tiger. No,
but like you have to like run around and find goats like around the map, all this thing's trying to get you. But then you also have to like find hay to like attract the goats or else they'd run away. So you like put it on the ground and wait for the goat to like come to you. And you're like looking for like fucking Azazel trying to come after you the whole time. And just, then you grab the goat.
Just put
and
out championship rings and then they'll come.
And so it's funny because the strategy is to just like pile up a bunch of goats and then just like mass murder them pretty much. And so I just think that that's like a strat, because the more goats that you murder, like LeBron,
yeah,
the harder the monster gets. And so it's better to like pile up a bunch of them and then just like kill them all at once so that the complications are kind of like limited. It's very fun.
Interesting.
Of like games where it's just like you're just trying to avoid like a thing running around a house, I think this is like the best version of that, because that's a big genre for like indie studios making like horror games.
Yeah, I've seen I feel like there's a lot of those.
There is a lot, and I think it's just because it's easy. Like you just make a map and then you,
that's like a majority of like the Twitch streams that I see.
Yeah, because like, it's like you make a map and then you just code like an AI, which probably has some sort of open source thing. Uh-huh. But this one adds like the element of like you have to do a certain thing like 10 times before you can like win.
There's one that I saw where like it like connects to your mic and like the mm-hmm. monster will
hear your
voice. Mic,
yeah.
I'm like, that's fun.
Yeah. Don't Scream. That thing is what it's called.
Okay.
It like just came out.
Whenever like something in a game finds me, that's like a different level of like goosebumps and anxiety that I get.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be something like, just like the little bugs in like Fallen Order, you know,
yeah.
that pop up. It's just like weird because I'm like, I might die, yeah. you know, in this game.
It and like so, locks onto you and it's like coming after you.
Yeah. It's yeah. like a different level that like isn't like you can get any other way, mm-hmm. you know. And I even got that with like fucking Hellboy just because like I wasn't expecting one of the things to pop up or whatever.
Yeah.
Or like I might die, you know.
So you'd freak out from like Outlast or something.
Yeah. I don't think I'd have fun.
You should play it. I think Outlast is fun because this.
What is that?
It's like that, but there's like a linear story like that. So it's not just like one map and you just have to like try and find your way out. There's like a whole linear story.
Yeah.
And very freaky.
Hmm.
Or like Alien Isolation, I think you would like. Because it's just but like Xenomorphs and it's pretty cool.
I've seen that.
It just takes a little bit to start up, but it's a really good game.
I feel like it's not very fun when like you just go under a desk and from the door frame, you can see you under the desk, but the alien doesn't see you and just walks by it, you know?
That's fair, but it's not like only that.
Yeah.
But anyway, those are the two new things.
I watched The Killer.
Oh, was it good?
It was very good. I liked it a lot.
Cool. You saw it in theaters?
I saw it in theaters. Nice. It was a 1 week theatrical run. At the time of recording, it'll be still out, and then you can only see
when
it tomorrow.
Comes out. When this comes out, it won't the be movie, in theaters.
Not in theaters, but it will be on Netflix by the time this comes out.
Sweet.
So go check it out. I think it's better than like a next Netflix film, personally.
That's probably why they put it in theaters.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I think it is good. There wasn't like a ton of people that went because like Five Nights at Freddy's came out the same week. And it seemed like everyone was going to see that.
Yeah, that did like really well.
Yeah.
I kind of want to watch it.
So yeah, we should go see it. The Killer, I don't think it's like David Fincher's like best movie. But I thought it was like a very like good adaptation of the Killer comic, you know, and I think
which I've read.
Yeah, I read it in Paris.
Oh, OK, cool. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Where the Killer is set, you know, big flex. I travel to where comic books are set.
Yeah, I just wanted to like feel really immersed.
So I definitely think I went with Dom and I definitely enjoyed it way more than him because I had these expectations and I think movies just get points when it's adaptations and it's done well, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like true to like the comic. Cause like the comic is like 95% narration, you know, it's just like what he's thinking and things like that. It's okay. A lot of captions. And like the first like 20 minutes is just him like staking out like a hit. Because he's like an assassin.
Cool.
And it's just all narration. I'm like, this fucking rules. You know, because nice. I'm like, this is like.
It's just like it's, him thinking about how he's going to do the assassination.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's nice. Sick. And like all of his like morals and things like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like what it's like to be a killer and shit like that. And that opener was like so. It was so like tense, you know, because you're just kind of waiting for the thing to happen, you know. Probably one of the best fight scenes of the year. I think it was in this.
Dang.
Super sick. So they changed like quite a bit, but it's a gist of just like the first volume, which is cool. So I think it's not like anything was like spoiled for me for like the future of the comic, which is neat. And so I think that'll kind of give me some momentum to read more of that.
How long is the Killer's comic? The Killer comic?
It's like normal trade length, like maybe 140 or something.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember. Yeah, like the changes like make sense and I think work for like a movie and nothing like really like upset me like what we changed. And I think it's like David Fincher's way of like trying to make like a assassin movie, but not like make it so boring.
Right.
You know? And I think he's kind of trying to make fun of that genre in a way in certain aspects. But yeah, really good. Everyone should watch it, I think.
Is Fassbender good in it?
He is excellent in this.
He seems excellent overall. He's going to be in a Taika Waititi movie.
Yeah. Last Goal Wins or something like that.
Yeah. That's cool.
I don't know when that comes out.
What a range on that guy.
Yeah. He was fucking shredded in this. He was like,
Oh, really? Like 300 shredded?
He looked like more shredded in this. Like he was like, he like looked like more sickly, I guess. But like when he takes his shirt off, he's like, it's just abs and like.
Cool.
Yeah. It wasn't like in 300, he was like trying to look big, you know? He looked like
he was pretty scrawnier compared to the other guys, but yeah.
Yeah, but like.
But pretty big.
And this, he didn't like look like he ate like a lot.
It's like scrawny shredded.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It's like the skinny kid that like just does a lot of crunches and has abs, you know? He kind of like that.
And like the abs don't line up for some reason.
Yeah. And so. Are you caught up on Gen V?
I'm behind on my shows, on my programs. Ooh. So I didn't watch anything else.
Cool.
Is the Gen V season finale out or like how does that work?
So I thought there was 10 episodes. So I looked up on IMDb and said 10 episodes and there's only like 7 out.
Oh, okay.
And the 8th. So I think it'll be coming out. Like a couple episodes will be coming out the same couple episodes as like Invincible.
Yeah.
You know, there's only like they're doing part 1 of season 2 for Invincible.
I did not know that. That's disappointing. So Gen V season 1 is 8 episodes.
It is 8 episodes.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what I was looking at. So yeah, the first 4 episodes come out week to week starting on the 3rd and then the second part comes out in 2024.
2024?
whatever the fuck that means.
That's next year.
That's, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Wait a whole year? And we might.
We might, yeah.
Hopefully, it's just like February or something. January, best case scenario.
Yeah, maybe they just like were trying to avoid crunch time or something for animators. So they were just like, you should still work on this.
Like, I can and wait.
Be mostly done.
Like, I don't know. Maybe they're trying to do like, because it's still coming out week to week. It's not like they're doing like a Netflix thing where it's like part one, part two.
I think the first couple episodes drop on November 3rd.
It's just the first one.
Is it?
Oh, according to IMDb.
Got it.
I think Gen B could be better if it was like six episodes, honestly. Because like,
it's been pretty like tight.
Like, it's been like tight, but like, I feel like these last two episodes, I'm like, I feel like this can be condensed.
Yeah, you know? That's fair.
Like, 8 is normally like a sweet spot for me, but just lately I'm like, is this still going, you know?
Yeah, I'm 6 like, can like really work.
I'm like, where's this going? Mm-hmm. So,
that's fair.
Anyway. What are we gonna read next week? What are we reading next week, Nathan?
What are we? I don't know.
We're reading Scott Pilgrim.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So we're going to read.
We're going to read the color edition.
Good.
It originally came out in black and white, but now there's color true? Edition.
Wow. Yeah. I guess it was like a. Is that considered a manga?
No. The first one?
No. Okay.
It reads.
I guess it's an American comic. So. All right. Cool. Yeah. Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
Is it just called Scott Pilgrim or is it Versus the World?
So it's just Scott Pilgrim. The second trade is called Scott Pilgrim : Versus the World.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But each trade is like called something different.
Nice. Finally, we're getting to the shit.
Yeah. Sorry, Sam. Yeah. Who first suggested it. Like,
I think he suggested a different Brian Lee O'Malley book. I don't think he's even
He just suggested Brian Lee O'Malley in general, I think.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
But Scott Pilgrim's like the main one.
We're getting to it. We said we would.
Yep. We got it.
Yeah.
So but sweet. Everyone, thanks for listening and watching. Check out the link tree in the bio. Like, comment, subscribe, and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what Brian Lee O'Malley book to read and what Captain Marvel run you like.
Yeah, let us know if we fumbled the Captain Marvel thing.
Yeah.
And there's a much better one.
Please clearly. Let us know. TrailersPod@gmail.com. And
exactly.
Goodbye.
Peace.